Who would you rather hang out with? Eeyore or Tigger? No matter which one you hang out with, guess who you'll end up more like? Whichever one you hang out with. The one who's always, oh bother, I'm sure it'll rain today. Or the one who's like, can we go out today? Can we go out and play? Can we go out and play? Right? There's this reality that perspective and attitude is contagious. That could be a good thing or a bad thing, right? Depending upon what perspective and attitude is being passed on, is being caught or rubbed off upon. Most people would tend to pick Tigger, right? If you're not being funny at the beginning of the sermon. Because he's excited and he's enthusiastic. There's a word for that. It's called zeal. It appears in our passage here in 2 Corinthians. In and of itself, zeal is a thing. It's neutral, right? Enthusiasm and excitement for something in and of itself is what it is. The question is, what is one excited or enthusiastic about? And that's where it can either be a good thing or a dangerous thing. And people are excited, enthusiastic, zealous about a lot of different things. Always have been, always will be. And today they are. Politics. Mask, no mask. COVID stuff. Then there, of course, there are those zealots who do horrible things in the name of their beliefs. Zeal's not the problem. The question is, what or who we are zealous about. In 2 Corinthians 9, 1, just 1 through 5 this morning, because what's coming up next needs most definitely its own time. We're still dealing with a situation that was very specific and particular to the Corinthians. They had the Apostle Paul among them. He told them about what was going on in Jerusalem and the need there, physically, financially, and they willingly committed to that, to be a part of that. He said he'd be back. At this point in time, as far as back then, he's not back yet. And he's writing to them about that commitment they made. Right? So we can't be in that exact situation. Because the Apostle Paul's not here, we're not the Corinthians, we're not doing things exactly that way. We could be in a pretty similar situation. Maybe one of the missionaries comes here, maybe like we just heard about Dennis, maybe you heard this morning, Dennis there in need of funds, and you willingly are like, I want to meet that need. Well, then you would be in a more parallel situation to follow through on that. Only, though, if you made a public commitment about that. Because that's what's going on here. And yet, in this passage, in these five verses, as the Corinthians are specifically being encouraged in many ways to follow through on what they originally committed to, we can be challenged about what it is we're even committed to. What it is we're even enthusiastic or excited about. And what is involved to follow through on that in such a way that our zeal is ultimately a good zeal that we want others to catch and that honors the Lord and brings about what is good. Join me in prayer and we'll read the passage and then consider from their specific scenario what God has for us in this issue, on this issue of being zealous or having zeal. Father, grant now as we're in your word again, that we would know what you are saying. You are revealing about yourself, your will, your ways, about us, and what you would have of us. And we live now knowing that our citizenship is in heaven, from which we await our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that we will one day be together with other believers who are now asleep or dead, when they return, or we return, because we die first too, with Christ when He comes. Father, grant us, with that eternal perspective that is true in Christ, to know what and why and how to be excited and enthusiastic. That we would be marked by zeal as individuals and as a church in such a way that it brings about what is good, what is a blessing to all of those around us, and so honors you, our merciful and gracious Heavenly Father. Grant this, we ask in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 1. Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints. For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year. And your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I am sending the brothers, so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. Pretty clear, pretty straightforward. Hey, Corinthians, all right, let's get busy and follow through on what you committed to. That's not us. But notice first here what it is that they had committed to. That Paul says, I don't really need to write to you about that, as he writes to them about it, gently spurring them on. What is he writing to them about? The ministry for the saints. Well, that allows us to start to apply this right away, because it's a general statement. Ministry for the saints. That word doesn't mean collecting money and giving it to Jerusalem. That's specifically what they had committed to. That's a part of ministry or service for the saints. That's a worthwhile purpose. That's a worthwhile object or thing to be zealous about. Whether it's 50 AD in Corinth, 300 AD in Rome, 1400s in Europe, 1700s in the colonies, right now in North Korea, Afghanistan, Venezuela. That's worthy thing to be zealous about and excited for. And what a gift! That's always there! And that's always possible! And it is inseparable from Christ Himself. This is written to Christians. We know that from the whole letter that's already come before us, especially the beginning and the first few verses. We also know from Acts 9, when Jesus stopped Saul on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians, that in persecuting Christians, or the saints, believers, Saul was persecuting whom?
Jesus.
He said, why are you persecuting me? Because if I would have asked you, what's a worthwhile thing to be zealous about, especially in the Christian context, you'd say, Jesus! That's good. Great Sunday school answer. It's almost always right, but we have to get more specific. What does that look like? Well, the Galatians are told, do good to all, especially those of the household of God. Saints, Christians. That is a worthwhile endeavor to be committed to, excited, enthusiastic about, no matter where, no matter what. Compare that to the multitude of things people get excited about, enthusiastic about today. Even in church. Get excited about building programs, new activities, new things offered. But is it actually service to the saints? So the two things going off the face of this earth. To be with the Lord forever. His word, which is always with him, and his people. It doesn't matter if the government collapses next week. It doesn't matter if the economy goes belly up tomorrow. If we're going to be excited about something, Tigger, about something, no matter what, no matter when, no matter where, it's ministry, service to the saints. That same word is used of Jesus at one point, of Paul. It's the word we get deacons from. The word means service, ministry, serving. Yet what's our tendency? Be excited about serving? Giving? Putting others first? That's exactly why Jesus came, right? Not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. If we're going to be zealous or excited about Jesus, that has feet. The rubber hits the road. There's a reality in that, and it looks like being excited and enthusiastic for service to his people. They're inseparable. We often separate them. We get confused about the organization and activities. But it comes down to his people. And in serving and ministering to his people, we're serving and ministering to him. And whatever we might be excited and enthusiastic about, zeal is contagious. It's right there in the very next verse, verse 12. He lets them know that their readiness, of which he boasted about, for the people of Macedonia, stirred them up. Most of them. What stirred them up? The end of verse 2. Their zeal. You know, when we do something, kind of like, okay, all right, everyone, time to log on Zoom again, time for class, time for meeting, whatever, let's go. All right, let's get in the car. We're going to take a car trip. I mean, you're just setting it up right there, right? Eeyore is contagious, and so is Tigger. Enthusiasm, excitement, zeal. It's contagious, even if you're not in the same room. The Macedonians found out about the Corinthians ready and willing with excitement and enthusiasm to be involved in service of saints who were all the way down over in Jerusalem. They've never Facebook or FaceTimed. They've never Zoomed. They've never even texted. And yet there's this concern, this concern for and an excited willingness to be a part of taking care of brothers and sisters in Jerusalem on the part of those in Corinth and those up in Macedonia hear about it and it spurs them on. It's contagious. It's part of why we come together on Sunday morning. It was just there in Thessalonians. It's in Hebrews 10:25 to spur one another on. To let our focus, our attention on, and our excitement for the Lord rub off on one another. Too often I hear people say, well, I woke up on Sunday and I just wasn't in a good place, so I didn't think I should go to church. That's like saying I woke up, I was having difficulty breathing, and blood was trickling out of my nose and my ears, but I just didn't think going to the hospital was a good idea. Okay, not every single one of us is going to show up bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and excited to be here. Opening the gate, opening the doors, greeting everyone excitedly. But part of God's grace and provision for you to get there is to be around those who are that way. And by showing up and being that way, if you are that way, is part of your ministry. Look what's going on here. The Corinthians' commitment, willingness, eagerness to serve, the saints of Jerusalem has served to stir up, it's actually provoke, but in a good way, the Macedonians. And very specifically, it provoked them or stirred them up to be involved in sending money to those in Jerusalem who needed it, even though the Macedonians were financially poor. And this ministry is just fine all over the place here. And the zeal of one is rubbing off on the zeal of the other. I want to be realistic of our situation, but I don't want to head down a rabbit trail. I don't want to go down. But one of the issues I've had with the mask, no offense to anyone who was wearing it. We can't see each other. You tell me, oh, my sister's sick and in the hospital. And I say, I'm sorry to hear that. Am I sad with you or am I smiling as I say it? Can you see the empathy? You tell me about a giant blessing in your life. And I respond, that's wonderful. But there's not that connection. Here's what's amazing. It was happening and they weren't even in the same place. We're zealous about something. What is it? Is it Christ? Yeah. What does it look like? Is it service to His people? And whatever we're zealous about, whatever we're excited about, it's contagious. Did you ever go eat at a restaurant just because someone talked so much about it and how great it was and how wonderful the food was? Did you ever try something just because someone talked about it and how wonderful it was and how great it was and they were like tiggering about it? So you tried it? Right? And that's part of why we gather. We are here to spur one another on or get spurred on because you need it. But the greatest of enthusiasm and excitement, because we are human, needs follow through. We help with that. That's okay. It's here in Scripture, it's in multiple places in Scripture. He says in verse 3, though he said it's superfluous, like it's, you know, it's kind of a doubling up and beating a dead horse. I don't really need to write to you about this, but I'm writing to you about it. And then he says in verse 3, but I am sending the brothers so that our boasting about you, what was he boasting about? God is at work in the Corinthians. And they know that their lives are His, and they're living for Him, and they heard about the need of the saints in Jerusalem, and they were excited to be a part of that. And Paul told the Macedonians about it. He says, but I'm sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter. So you may be ready, as I said you would be. I'm sending some brothers along to help keep you accountable. Following through on what you enthusiastically and rightly committed to. We need it. We should get it. Look for it. Have it. Have some new convictions. Move into some new directions. Making some decisions. Get accountability for that. Get encouragement. In Revelation 2, the church of Ephesus gets a rebuke. And they were told to return to what they once had. Right there, what are they getting? Accountability. Reminder to follow through. We need that. There's nothing wrong with that. And just because you were excited and enthusiastic about that which is good and right in God's eyes, serving Christ by serving His people, but then you start to struggle with follow through, don't give up. Don't say, oh well, you know, I don't feel like it now, so it must not be a right thing. We need follow through. Get accountability for that. In Hebrews 10:25, right? Meet together and spur one another on. And He also reminded them what? Remember when you joyfully gave up all your property as it was seized and taken from you. They were kind of losing that perspective. So they're being reminded of it. Spurred on. Some accountability. Enthusiasm and excitement. That's great. If it's about Christ and serving His people, it's eternally wonderful. It needs follow through. That requires accountability and help. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. He is not poo-pooing the Corinthians as if they're idiots and dummies and pathetic. He's being very gentle and tactful. He's like, hey, I got some brothers coming along. So you follow through and you get it done. And you get it done. And a worthwhile zeal requires the right motive. Well, isn't my motive to serve Christ? That's the goal. Isn't that played out in serving the Christians? That's the goal. But why are you doing it? And you might have the right motive at first and then start to lose it. You just have to be reminded of it and go back to it. That's verse 5. So I thought it necessary to urge you, brothers, to go on ahead of you and arrange in advance for the gifts you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. He's reminding them of why they first wanted to do this. They were ready. They were willing. Why? It's not in the immediate passage here. It's in the whole greater context. And the easiest place to go is back just a little bit, though it's going to come up again in chapter 9. Go back just a little bit in chapter 5. Speaking of himself and the other apostles and those working with him, but applied to all Christians. And that's what he's doing there too, reminding the Corinthians what should be true for them. He says in chapter 5, verse 14, the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us this ministry, there's that word, service of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. What's the motivation? It's not, I want to give, I want to serve to get. But I want to give and I want to serve because of how much I have been
given.
Says it this way in Titus chapter 2, this is my paraphrase, NCP, New Carl paraphrase, but the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, training us to say no to ungodliness. Starting in verse 11, goes on a couple verses later. Christ is redeeming for himself a people who would be zealous for good works. We're not saved by our good works. We've got none. We've got bad works. But he saves us while we're yet sinners. Christ died for us. Mercy, grace, unconditional, undeserved kindness and forgiveness of God. The love of Christ. That's what controls, compels, and spurs us on. It's not to get, but it's because of how much we've been given. But it is there in 9:5. We don't have to go back, but it's legitimate to go back because that's the context. But it ends with not as an exaction. In other words, not as giving something to get something, but giving because you've been given. Willingly. Not, oh, I gotta do this. That's what they started out. We get to do this. Now a year later, I don't know. He's taking them back to their original motive and the right motive. In your English, at least in the ESV, I didn't look at other English versions this week. It says gift. Gift. You see that? Again and again. Gift. Gift. For the gift you have promised. Gift. No strings attached. Here you go. Better yet, here's how the word behind that is usually translated. So I thought it necessary to urge you, brothers, to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the blessing you have promised, so that may be ready as a willing blessing. Not as down payment, a pyramid scheme, strings attached. Blessing. And right away that word's going to trigger. Why would I want to bless them? Oh. Praise be to God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. It's like Jesus' parable. The man goes in before his master. He owes $500,000. The master forgives him his debt. He walks outside. He finds Billy Joe Bob. And Billy Joe Bob owes him $100. And he grabs Billy Joe Bob by the neck and starts to strangle him. Pay up! That's the Christian. We have been blessed beyond measure. Unconditionally given. An eternal inheritance in the one who gave himself for us. That his love compels us. That's the motivation. Blessing. The goal is to bless. The motivation is because I've been blessed. They had to be reminded of their original motives. They had to be taken back there. It wouldn't do if they got the money together grudgingly, unwillingly. Isaiah chapter 1. Stop bringing me your sacrifices. But wait a second, God, you command them in your word. Yeah, but you honor me in your actions at the temple. And dishonor me everywhere else. You honor with your lips, but not with your heart. Your hearts are far from me. You come to the temple with the sacrifices, but the heart's wrong. It would not do for them to simply follow through grudgingly, unwillingly. We'll get to you next week. Lord willing, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. From the heart. And what could possibly affect our heart so as to be willing to want to bless and give unconditionally to other Christians, ones whom we've never even seen, the blessing we have received. The lavish kindness of God that abounds. He takes them back in just a couple of words, brings them to chapter 5. The love of Christ. Did you lose sight of that? Get that sight back. I'm sure you've been there. You've committed to doing something to serve someone else, and you committed excitedly. You knew it was the right thing to do before Christ. You're going to honor him that way, but there's a time lag. And as time went on, now you're, why am I doing this? This is costly. The response from that person is not what I had hoped for. Why am I doing this? One word. Blessing. The blessing you've received if your faith is in Jesus. The mercy you know if you believe that this God-man, born of a virgin, died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead, for the forgiveness of your sins. The unconditional kindness that is lavished upon you, though you've hated and you've lied and you've committed adultery, at least in your heart, if not actually. And yet, the Maker of heaven and earth calls you his child. Blessing. That's why. Because you've received a kindness and goodness beyond your wildest imagination, and you know you could never, ever, ever earn or deserve. And so you want to join in and display the very character of the one who loved you and so loved others, and you want to bless. You want to bless. You need to be reminded of why you started there. Why you want to do that. That's okay. You need to be reminded. But that's critical. Motive is critical. So that you may be ready as a willing gift. Legalism says it doesn't matter why you're doing it, just as long as you do it. God says why you do what you do matters. Because the issue is the heart. And even in Christ, even as Christians, we need to be reminded of that motive. And we can boil it down to one word in that verse. We can use the English word gift for the other English word, the word behind it, blessing. Which is completely and utterly upside down of how this world operates. We give to get. We show up because we have to, or we're supposed to, or because we want to get something. But in Christ, we can excitedly, enthusiastically, joyfully give. And give. Commit to give. Follow through on giving. Not dependent upon, not contingent upon, the other person or person's response or reception, because it does get back to Christ. Zealous for him, his people. I want to go to that passage in Titus because it's saying the same thing, but it's very specifically teaching it there in Titus, that which is on display and illustrated in 2 Corinthians 9. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Zeal is contagious. What are we zealous about? It can wane, it can wax, it can ebb, it can flow. We need accountability and help on follow through. But we are to be a zealous people. Zealous for Christ, which is played out in zealous to serve. Particularly his people. Follow through on commitments. And never lose sight of the fact that blessing is why we're doing it. Because we have been blessed, gifted, graced, mercied beyond measure. And we can joyfully partake in that, specifically to God's people, but to all, as it says in Galatians, we can do good, but not to death, because we have been given. Let's pray. Father, we are all here today zealous about something. Maybe it's something different than it was a day or two ago or last week, or maybe it's the same thing. Father, you give us much good, specifically us here in our current scenario, much worldly finite good, many opportunities and privileges. Father, there is nothing that compares to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord. You have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. Adoption as your children. Eternal inheritance. No guilt. No shame. No condemnation. Eternity to look forward in your presence with no more sin, no more disease, no more dying. We are rich eternally in Christ. Gracious Father, grant that we would grow, increase, and abound in our excitement for Jesus. And that will be on display, continually and more so, in our service to one another and to Christians who we've never even met or don't even know. And in that, Father, may we be a blessing and spur on and be spurred on here among ourselves and the others that we're connected to and serving and praying for and supporting. May we not lose sight of what we've yet to do. Bless. And why? Because in Christ, all eternal goodness has been lavished upon us. Father, continue to reset our thinking or transform our thinking that we would have that eternal perspective.
not be conformed to how things typically and normally work in this world. And to not be dragged down or distracted or turned to the side by the ways, by the things, by the stuff of this life. And more so each day, enamored with Christ. And may that be on display in our service to your people here, there, and anywhere. To our blessing, to our joy, and to your praise and glory, if you are willing, to the bringing of more sons and daughters to glory, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.